From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When it comes to shaping a student's education, their school board plays a pivotal role. Whether that's developing a district's budget, weighing in on curriculum or academic resources, or advocating for students, these decision-making bodies influence not only their schools, but the surrounding community as well. These board seats are elected positions, but as down-ballot races, they might not get as much attention or visibility as other big-ticket contests. 2 days ago, during the primary, tens of thousands of Sacramento County voters cast their ballots in their primary for a couple of local school board races. Cap Radio education reporter Srishti Prabha joins us now with a look at the candidates and an update on early returns so far. Good afternoon, Srishti.
Good afternoon, Vicky.
All right, so let's start at the very local level. What were the school board races for this primary?
Yeah, we had the Sacramento County Office of Education's board race, and we had the Twin Rivers Unified School District school board race.
So for those who are not familiar, what is the role of the Sacramento County Office of Education?
The County Office of Education operates some of its own schools while providing some oversight and support to the 13 school districts in the county. It can also manage any grants given to the county by the state. So, for example, recently, Sacramento County Office of Education received $27 million to train staff across the state on literacy practices. But like a district school board is different because they manage funds that are given to them by the state and keep track of the schools in their region. They'll probably be discussing budgets and books and general concerns brought to the school boards. They hire, fire, and manage their district superintendent. And they also file accountability reports to the County Office of Education.
Okay, so there's like a countywide board for the Office of Education, and then within that are school boards for the 13 districts that the county in Sacramento oversees. Now, the results are early. I mean, we're only a couple days after the primary, but what do the tallies show so far?
Right now, discussing the school board races, we should know that each term length is 4 years, so they can show up on your ballot at different points in time. So in Sacramento County, for the Sacramento County Office of Education, we had Trustee Area 4, which was really contested. This area covered parts of Northeast Sacramento, including Fair Oaks, Citrus Heights, Orangevale. School districts that are represented in this region are the majority of San Juan Unified and small portions of Twin Rivers Unified and Folsom Cordova. The incumbent, Joanne Ahola, did not run, but did endorse the current candidate that is ahead in polls, whose name is Vanessa Cagoy. Right now, she has 36% of the vote. She is a managing director of the California Charter Schools Association, and she's also endorsed by the Sacramento County Sheriff Jim Cooper, which I find is usually a more conservative talking point. So that's just something to think about. Is who is being endorsed by whom. Polling behind her is Linda Christopher DeWild at 22%, who is a teacher, principal, and district administrator. These are all roles that she's held in the past. Another area is Area 6 for the Sacramento County Office of Education board race. This area covers much of South Sacramento County, including Elk Grove, Galt, and Rio Vista. School districts represented in this region are a majority of Elk Grove Unified, all of Arcohe Union, Galt Joint Union, and River Delta Unified. Heather Davis is the incumbent running. She's held her position since 2016. She's a parent, and she's currently winning in the polls by 79% against her opponent, which is Shazleen Khan. Shazleen Khan did not respond to any of my requests for comment or interviews, so I don't know much about her other than that her bio says she's an education analyst. Moving on.
So now we're going to move on to Twin Rivers Unified School District.
Absolutely, yes. Let's move on to Twin Rivers Unified School District. So Trustee Area 7 was the contested area for this district. The area covers parts of Arden Fair, Woodlake, and Old North Sacramento. Linda Fowler is the incumbent, and it was running. Fowler has been on the Twin Rivers board since 2007 and has served on school boards in the region since 1971.
Long time.
A very long time. She's actually behind in the polls and coming in at 47%. She has no current endorsements. She's against Sasha Vogt, who is at 52% of the vote. She's a child development teacher and a parent. Her endorsements include the Democratic Party of Sacramento.
Okay, so In addition to these contested races, there are also incumbent members that run unopposed. Is this a common thing that happens during elections?
Yeah, there are several members who have run uncontested for years. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, some of them have been uncontested for over a decade. One member, it's been over 20 years. So, you know, that's something to look into when you're considering your school boards.
You know, and you have dived into this, you know, reporting on school boards, the importance of them. Do you have any idea why there could be a common occurrence of having school board members run unopposed?
My previous reporting showcased that a lot of times it costs a lot of money and a lot of time outside of your work. And then also just it's a labor. It's a labor of love, and it's, you know, usually unappreciated. So it's a very difficult job to even take on.
Yeah, and some school boards, I mean, I don't even know if you make money or earn money.
No money as a school board member, maybe a stipend of like $2,000. It's pretty small. It's in my reporting if you look it up. But yeah, it's quite a small stipend.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio Sacramento education reporter Srishti Prabha about the early returns in Sacramento school board races. So as we know, Sacramento is a very diverse city. Many of its schools, of course, are diverse within their campuses. Do school boards reflect that diversity?
Yes, check out my previous reporting on this very topic because I did a deep dive last year and I came on Insight to talk about it. But from my analysis then, it really depended district by district. But overwhelmingly, the white demographic was overrepresented on school boards in every county. Sacramento City Unified, for example, whose student body is majority Hispanic, had no representation on the school board. Mm.
We've also talked on Insight, especially leading up to the primary, about the importance of these down ballot local elections, whether it's for school board or whether it's for a superior court judge. And people might skip over or be less informed about these races. School boards, of course, are included. What kind of power do school boards have?
Yes, I'm so repetitive about this, but if you want to make a direct impact, the school boards are where it's at. You can hold your local officials accountable by going to school board meetings. And that accountability is not even just at the school board level. There are multiple measures in place in California which empower the parent voice. There's parent committees. There's committees called LCAPs that inform how funds are being spent and what the priorities of a district are. Then they're reported to the school board. So you have so many avenues. And the school board that represents the community is significant because we're seeing that when you're represented, the resolutions that are being passed in Sacramento County are also representative.
And these positions, technically, they are nonpartisan positions, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you did touch upon endorsements, though. So I'm curious, like, for example, one of the school board candidates had an endorsement from the Democratic Party. So there are some political leanings and they do play a role in the decisions that can be made. What did you learn about these political leanings within what should be nonpartisan school board races?
Yes, I don't believe there's such a thing as an apolitical office, right? You're coming in with some type of agenda. And while people try to frame school board trustee roles as apolitical, they are really not. And the endorsements kind of showcase that. If you've been following, the California GOP has a training for parents to run for school boards, which is called Parents Revolt. So clearly, it isn't an apolitical position.
Yeah, especially with the power that a school board member wields on campuses and the community that surrounds that school. I mean, there are also just a lot of big visible issues that have come up recently in school board meetings across California as well as across the country, talking about book bans, anti-LGBTQ policies. How have these issues been cropping up here locally, and what has that impact been like?
So we are definitely seeing these same issues impact our region. In Rockland Unified School District, Dry Creek Joint Elementary School District, both passed gender notification policies last year. And we also saw that in El Dorado Hills. In Sacramento County, Elk Grove Unified has faced a number of LGBTQ-related debates. Just this week, public comment at the board meeting was a back and forth on the Lunchtime Rainbow Club, or UBU Club, for students in third to fifth grade at Pleasant Grove Elementary School. Here are two opposing viewpoints from that school board meeting.
Hello, my name is Rick Atkinson. I extremely object to the clubs that they're having at schools. My only expectation of my school district is to educate my child. I do not see how this is part of education. I expect you to teach my child math, English, and science. And I expect you to ask me permission if you want to teach them anything else. And unless they're at grade level comprehension and all of those things, you have no business adding any other curriculum until they are.
Hello, my name is Amaranta. My pronouns are they, them. I'm commenting over Zoom and not in person because, to be honest, speaking on these issues in the same room as people who refuse to respect or understand me and my community, much less include us, takes too big of a toll on my mental health. And I hope the fact that you can't see my face right now doesn't take away from the urgency and the weight of the following statement, which is acknowledging, affirming, and supporting trans youth and their gender identities saves lives.
Yeah, it's powerful to hear from people at the board meeting. The board clarified with me that their rainbow clubs exist at multiple sites in the district and that they have no policy on notification process for lunchtime clubs at schools, but are exploring the possibility of informing parents of lunchtime clubs on campus. They have paused the club at Pleasant Grove Elementary until the district policy is confirmed.
Yeah, and for someone who isn't, aware what this club is, do you know what is, in general, a rainbow club?
A rainbow club is an LGBTQ club for youth, and it's just to help them feel, their identity is there and it's present and they can feel safe in that. And there are multiple identity clubs at schools in between third and fifth grade.
Yeah. How has Elk Grove Unified, because this was the focus of the public comment that we heard from, how has that district been able to push through that noise surrounding, what has become nationally this culture war of policies and actually make some progress with students in mind?
Yeah, your school board matters. The people you vote into these positions really, really, really matter. And so Elk Grove Unified has one of the few openly queer school board members, Michael Vargas, whom I spoke with. With his help, the board has also had a resolution to mark March 31st as the Trans Day of Visibility in the district at the board meeting this week.
There's one thing that we are completely unified on, and I think you saw this both last year in our Pride Month resolution and this year in our Trans Day of Visibility resolution. It's that the board is unified on the fact that we are going to support our LGBTQ community. That is not up for debate. That is not up for discussion. And whatever happens with policy, that support for the LGBTQ community is not going to change.
In the same board meeting, Trans Day of Visibility was voted on and passed by the board, and it'll be on March 31st this year.
So the end of this month. Shrishti, thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.
Shrishti Prabha is Cap Radio's Sacramento education reporter. You can also find Shrishti's reporting in the Sacramento Observer. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.